Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Shred Show Live, where we bring you industry professionals, entrepreneurs, and the best of the best from around the world who are willing to share how they shred, the strategies, the techniques, and the actionable items that you need in your business to go out and dominate. Join us as we shred, show up, hustle, repeat every day. Let's go. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and again, welcome to the Shred Show Live. I am very excited to, like I said, introduce my new friend, Jim Albertelli, coming from, CEO of Voxer, and I'm really excited for this conversation, Jim, because like I said, number one, when I have a guest on that I'm not even super familiar with, number one, of what is happening within the industry, being that I've been in this industry quite a long time, you'd think we know it all, but again, I've heard of attorney opinion letters, but I'm not familiar with them. And that is going to be our topic of conversation. But before we get into that, I'm excited to have you on the show. Welcome to the show. I want to get to know you a little bit, Jim. So tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got started in the industry.
Yeah. So my background, pretty straightforward, finance and economics degree. And then I went to law school at Emory University. So lawyer by trade over 27 years and with a background in finance and economics. When I went out, I worked at a big firm for a couple of years and then went out on my own, really started my own law practice. It was in the real estate finance sector. So started in Georgia, moved, expanded to Florida. Flash forward to today, you know, I've represented most of the major financial institutions from pre-crisis to now. Built a multi-state, multi-jurisdictional law firm that's Fannie, Freddie, and Jenny. No objection, so approved to do all their work. During that course of that long career too, I built the first eBay style auction for distressed real estate. I ultimately licensed and worked as a consultant for a company to help them grow, which is REDC, became auction.com. So my technology preceded that. I built one of the first online mortgage originators and servicers focusing on social media data. I sold that company. It was called Prio Mortgage. To Cerberus Capital Management, it became First Key Lending. So I've been a mortgage originator and servicer. I've been in the technology space, building technology, and the eBay style auction space on real estate. Also built an online brokerage back in the day, real estate brokerage company, and then had the law firm. So I've seen the trials and tribulations pre-2008 and all the way to today. I'm looking at the macroeconomic conditions and really trying to be thoughtful about, you know, all of these different angles, whether you're an originator, you're a servicer, you're a regulator, you're in the capital market space, or you're a consumer, and looking at inefficiencies and addressing them. And so that's my background at a high level. And that's what led me to the, I'll call it the Voxer vision. And so, you know, right there at the beginning of COVID, had several different companies that were apart from my law practice. I had a title, standard title agency with multiple underwriters doing closings across the country. I had some niche bankruptcy and foreclosure technology. And I had this idea and this IP around a traditional title insurance alternative, right? So those were my non-legal assets. Sure. And there was a really small little Canadian company, publicly traded. And if I learned anything in having to license, ultimately sell my auction technology, it was that I needed access. If I'm going to create scale, I needed access to the public markets. So sure. This little Canadian company called iLookAbout had niche tax technology in the provinces of Canada and the U.S., and sketching technology. And it also had a valuation company. And so I thought, wow, if I could append valuation tax with title and an alternative and default technology and bolt that those things together, I could address a lot of the verticals within the real estate lending ecosystem, right? So that was kind of the vision. And so I took my private assets with that Publica. We merged them together. I renamed the company Voxer. Voxer is the Icelandic word for growth. If you hate it, you can blame this guy right here. I'm the one who came up with it. And then from that, we did a number of acquisitions. So what is Voxer? Voxer is a property technology company using data and analytics to reduce the cost of home ownership. That's what Voxer, what we do every day. So whether you're an originator, you need the same thing you need in the capital market space: tax, title, valuation, property condition data. Well, Voxtur has one of the largest databases for real property data in the US and in Canada, so in all of North America. So we have the ability to leverage that to address inefficiencies throughout the lending ecosystem. And then with our most recent acquisition, which is the Blue Water Trading Platform, we now own a platform. With our data assets on the front end, if you see that, we're running on other people's platforms. We provide the data into CoreLogic systems, right? Or we provide the data into MSP, you know, Black Knight system, or into Ellie Mae or Encompass, right? That's where our data goes. So that guys that are doing origination or servicing or trading assets, we were providing that data to help them do it. Mm-hmm. Well, capital markets acquisition is the first time that Voxtur became a platform company. Now we own the eBay trading MSRs and whole loans, right?
Dang.
So when you hear what we're doing and I say, I'm going to bring Wall Street to Main Street, what? And people say, well, what the hell does it mean? How are you going to do that? Well, bringing capital market standards and what investors want to buy all the way to help our originators do things more efficiently. So that's the bringing Wall Street to Main Street piece. And the reducing the cost of homeownership piece happens to show up in several ways. It shows up in alternative valuation methodologies, hybrids with AVMs, automated valuation methodologies, with maybe an expert like an appraiser to review it. So using a hybrid system. It happens in tax, because we can run tax analytics, see if you pay too high or if your taxes are too low and by how much. So we can help create homeownership efficiencies there. And then on the title side, which we're super excited about, and even more excited the more bad press that comes out, because really what it does is, you know, what the industry is very reluctant to change. And Voxtur's traditional title alternative is actually older than title insurance itself. And I'll go into that. And it's more cost effective. And it's not based on some funny math. It's based on real analysis to give
real
consumer
data.
Choice. So that's where, you know, I love all this groundwork of who I am and where we are and what we're trying to accomplish. And then focusing in on this product, I think, is great for the Shred Show, because we're going to shred business plans. Okay?
Exactly.
That's what Voxtur is going to do.
Okay, I want to pause here. Holy crap. Like, I want everybody to, what you just, like, there's so much that you just touched on, Jim, and I know we're going to dive deep into this, but I want everybody, our entire community listening today, I want you to take a step back, because really what you guys are focused on is making the homeownership process more affordable and more efficient.
Yeah.
Like, that's really that's what right. It comes down. Like, that's literally that's your guys' focus, which is, again, yes. There, you mentioned some, you know, some bad publicity, some articles that are flying around. We're going to talk about one of our good friends over at Housing Wire actually released an article, which I want to touch on here in just a second. But this is really one of those things that it's more of almost just people just don't understand it. And again, you mentioned the mortgage industry. Sometimes something new scares us, and the big, you know, the big companies that have been doing this for so long, they get nervous, they get scared. We're not going to mention names at all, but they're just like, nope, this is the old ways is the only way. And it's like, well, is it? Like, there are opportunities for us to become better, to, again, the homeownership process. All of us in the mortgage industry are in this to help the homeowner, to help achieve that dream of homeownership. That's the American dream, Jim. That's what we're trying to do here. And if we can make it, you know, more cost effective and more efficient, why wouldn't we do that? So, sorry, I wanted like everybody to understand this is our focus. So let's keep diving. And again, Voxtur continues to revolutionize this. So keep going now.
Yeah. So think about this quick history lesson. You know, there was a time before title insurance, no title insurance. So from oldie England, when there were plenty of land transfers to the beginning of the country, United States of America, for the first 100 years, there was no title insurance. You know what there were? There were attorneys that looked at the real estate records and gave you an opinion. Well, what's the downside? Well, if I give you my opinion, all right, I give it to the Shred Show. The Shred Show can't sell it to the next person, can't transfer it. Okay, my privity of contract with you. So transferability was a big issue. And that's exactly what happened back in 1876 in a little old city called Philadelphia. Is somebody took that attorney and tried to transfer it. And guess what? They couldn't sue the attorney when the attorney was wrong. So the attorneys got together, believe it or not, wrote the first policy and created lobbied the assembly, the state assembly, I think back in 1876 in Pennsylvania, in the city of Philadelphia, and got a charter to become an insurance company. And that company became First American. Boom. There you go.
The beginning of title. There you go.
That's it. So 100 years before title insurance were lawyers giving opinions. And then the title insurance industry did some interesting things, very good things for the market. They automated records. They retained records. They helped the local clerk of courts keep things straight. So they've served that duty, and they were more cost effective than lawyers. So guess what? Now you had transferability and you had the cost component, right? And those two components proliferated. So now let's swing forward. Now when we're in the, you know, in the 20th century, and we're looking at the GSE show up, and the evolution with securitization shows up. And now with securitization, we can securitize loans and create all of this liquidity in the mortgage market. And those loans trade, and they needed a policy that could trade in the secondary market and still protect title, right? So you've got the cost issue, you've got the transferability issue, and then you have the insurability issue. So all of those issues had to be addressed. Sure. So flash forward to a few years ago. I'm sitting there with my traditional title insurance company. We're doing closes around the country. And I noticed that it's post 08. So we've already litigated hundreds of thousands, if not millions of properties title issues. They're all gone. They've been litigated like in the past, right since 08. So I'm looking back and I'm going, okay, in the past 15 years, we've litigated almost every one of the title issues. And more recorders are going online. So the records are better. And we've litigated the bad issues through the crisis, and the insurance rates haven't gone down. Okay, So wait a sec. Less risk, same amount. No, prices have gone up. More expense. Same risk, more expense. Just seems like it's ripe for an arbitrage. So I'm sitting there, and I created a technology that ingests images and does questions and answers based on the state. So based on, is it a submerged land issue in Florida? Is it some kind of an issue that is to maybe Texas, like a mineral rights issue, right? Looking at each state jurisdiction, I created these question and answers to provide actual traditional title insurance policies on them. And then I sat back and I thought, you know, I've written attorney opinions for tens of thousands of dollars for commercial deals where I've said this property is owned appropriately, you know, for this purpose, et cetera. So, and I thought to myself, wow, what if I took this technology and I put an even better reviewer in it. So instead of a clerk who puts out a title insurance policy, why don't I put a fire real estate lawyer in it? Sure. Now you're getting a real estate lawyer and I can make them super efficient. So for the same, so I can have an efficient lawyer, which, you know, who could do that? And then I've got good technology. From a Six Sigma standpoint, I'm not going to change the API into an officially may or into a system. So I'm not going to change the way mortgage people do business. I'm going to leave that the same. Now what do I want? Now I need to go out and I need to get a new type of insurance product to back my opinion that transfers in the secondary market the full life of the loan. So I need to find an AM Best A-rated insurance company. All the power, all of the reserves of any title insurance underwriter. And I did that. And I went to these companies that had provided even riskier, really, insurance because they were the ones that backed home equity loans from before 08. So they survived the 08 crash. They have hundreds of millions of dollars on balance sheets for insurance companies. They insured a more riskier product. I'm saying, guys, why don't you wrap my opinion and protect my legal work, which I'm doing. And by the way, I'm recording all of the work. Every attorney goes in, dual factor authenticated, everything's recorded, right? So I am using the highest and best reviewer in the best methodology, the most efficient methodology, and I'm wrapping it with insurance every bit as good as any title insurance company. And oh, by the way, I simplified the rate structure. So now you don't, you know, now you can come in and say, Jim, what is title insurance on a you know, $1 million loan in, you name the state, Florida? And I could say, well, it's $495. And you're like, well, the rate guide says it's 5.75 per thousand on the first 100,000, $5 per thousand thereafter. But you're telling me for about a tenth of that, you can provide the same level of insurance or assurance? Absolutely. That's what I'm saying. And it's so simple. Anyone can, the consumer is exactly what it is. It's a simple form. And oh, by the way, when you read a title insurance policy, it starts with, we cover all of these things, and then we accept, remove all these things, okay? And we said, well, consumers can't understand that. Why don't we do it simple? We just tell you all the things we cover. and you don't have to go fishing. Why don't you do this? Take a step back and think about a couple things. What could have improved in the title insurance world? Well, one, rates could resemble risk. That could happen. Two, the second thing that could happen is you could make it simpler so consumers could actually read the letter. Like it took me and other lawyers, and I've been doing this again for 27 years, to read the insurance policy. Wait a second, this is so convoluted, and really it feels disingenuous. Why don't we clean that up? So I'm going to give you a better letter, a better reviewer, just as good insurance, a cleaner practice, simplified disclosure. So if I'm a consumer now and I can say it, I can look at my loan, I can say, wow, I can have this coverage. Every item covered in a title insurance policy is covered in an attorney opinion letter. Why? Because attorneys are the ones who wrote the title insurance policies. So why would you, like, why do you think it's so strange? The attorneys behind the title insurance companies wrote their policies. The attorney wrote the letter. Don't you think we're going to cover off the same risk? Don't you think we're going to look at the same laws? Of course we're going to look at the same laws. But what we're going to do is we don't have billions of dollars of market cap tied up into an antiquated system. We're not sure. Trying to convince people that the risk is out there. We're actually saying, hey, here's what the risk really is in the transfer title article, and Housing Wire actually pointed this out. It's like a $40 billion business, and the risk, over 85% of titles are good right out the door. And so it's a very small percentage that have an issue. And by the way, more planned unit developments, more condos, even less risk, less risk, less risk, less, more electronic registration, less risk, less risk. And oh, by the way, think about this. One of the states that has the best real estate records is a state called Iowa, and they have no title insurance. Huh. Okay, well, best data, no title insurance. Makes you think, doesn't it? So my point is, this industry was ripe for evolution. Sure. And what we do is the best execution. If title insurance is better than we use it, if the consumer wants it, they can have it. Like for us, it's about knowledge and choice. It's about not about that title insurance is bad. It's not. It's there's a place for it. And it's about us providing alternatives and trying to come up with something that a consumer can read and understand. Oh, by the way, it's less expensive. So think about this, because the VA just acknowledged the AOL, the Attorney Sure. Opinion Letter, in lieu of title. Think about all those veterans that through this most recent rate downturn that couldn't refinance because the rate reduction wasn't sufficient to pay off one of those costs being like title insurance. So think about the fact that a high title insurance expense might have been the thing that kept a veteran from refinancing their home. Out of that, just keep it simple. I mean, how about all the first-time homebuyers that paid more, or all those first-time homebuyers who wanted to refinance and paid? They're like, well, we only had one loan and we owned our home for the past 7 years, and now we want to refinance, and oh, we got to spend $4,000 or $3,000 or $2,000 on title insurance when we're the only people that have been in here. There is no risk, and why can't it be cheaper than that? Yes, it can be. And the answer is you don't have to give up the methodology, which is the rigor around the title review, okay, absolutely, which is very important. We do all of that work, okay? We're not cutting any corners. It's the same thing we would do if we issued a title insurance policy. The second thing, wouldn't you want to have choice about, hey, maybe I want the traditional title, maybe I don't, so choice. Three, wouldn't you want it to be simpler? What's the cost structure? Oh, it's one price to $1 million. Okay, well, that's easy to understand. And on a purchase, it's three prices to $1 million. It's not, I have to recalculate. And oh, by the way, when lender gets lender's coverage, there's no extra expense for owners. You're just an additional insured. You add one more insured party. So you take that expense out. So when you see how simple it is, right, and how clear it is for consumers, and the claims paid process is very binary. It's sure. Not the first response is we're going to deny your claim. Like we did customer service. We looked at delivery for our lenders, so they didn't change anything because they can't afford to spend money on new systems. So we got to deliver it. So they don't have to change. Two, we knew that we had to have it on all fours with the biggest title insurance companies. We knew we had to have millions in reserve. We do. And those companies are regulated by all the state insurance companies. Three, we thought we could have a better reviewer. I thought, I'll make it as cheap. no one ever thought they'd make attorney cheap. When was the last time you came in and thought, well, we're going to save money, let's hire an attorney? Never happens, right? But we have them. We have a national network of real estate lawyers that can get in super efficiently, can be authenticated, and can do the work and the review work, seeing the images and the data, and then addressing it. And look, this is an evolution, not a revolution. My point is that we're not done. Like, at some point, you know, in the future, all of the usable land will be properly identified, subdivided, recorded. And those transfers with new protections around fraud, online electronic notarization being one, having an attorney electronically, all of these things will be properly validated, dual factor authentication, it's on your phone. All of that will be done, and the prices are going to keep going down.
So this is the part that I kind of, you mentioned this, and I want to bring this into the conversation just for a second as well, because you mentioned, I want to share this article too. Again, our good friends at Housing Wire put this out, and this just shows how incredibly timely. You mentioned the big four that are in here. It even goes down to reference your group and a few others that are working on this, but this really is something that, again, I just don't think the industry has talked about enough, understands enough. And like, I really want to kind of highlight this part of it is you're not trying to start a revolution here. And this kind of frames the entire conversation. The title insurance industry prepares for battle. Like, it's just like, is it really a battle? Like, is this something we need to be battling for? Or is it something you even mentioned? Like, there's a place for both of these things. And that's what I really want to stress with our community and all our listeners today is like this sometimes in our industry, it's always has to be this battle and this fight for good and evil. And it's like, well, it's not really good and evil here. It's like,
they're called a battle. It's like, look, let's not be disingenuous. Let's not minimize, you know, soldiers and sailors that actually go to something called a war and where people actually die. Okay. Let's not do that. How about this? The title insurance, insurance industry recognizes it's time for a change, and they can do so proactively and effectively by adopting different methodologies to reduce costs for consumers. And maybe they partner companies like Oxford to be more competitive and take market share. Like, and maybe they see that you can't have a disconnect between risk and reward because therein lies an arbitrage. And maybe that will all benefit the consumer. And maybe it's the time now with social media and other things that instead of thinking, I'm going to go to war and I'm going to crush you or we're going to have battle. Okay, first of all, that's all nonsense. And it's all hyperbole. Here's what you should focus on. Be honest. Disclose the right price. Clear the language up and make it simple, right? Help the consumer more than your competitor and you'll get more business. So I look at it like, here's all I get from something as idiotic as that. I look at it like, I guess I hit a nerve. I guess I'm in exactly the right spot. I look at it like, you know, like one of the people I really respect who, of course, he takes a lot of bad press, like an Elon Musk. At one point, he came in and the big automakers went to Washington. We're going to shut down. We can't have an electric vehicle and blah, 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 blah. Okay. Well, that didn't work. And now I'll make electric vehicles. So if you think that's instructive, you know, I'd love to be Elon Musk and have a SpaceX company and an electric car company like Tesla, even if the stock is down. Unfortunately, our market cap is nowhere near that. It's looking or as far as him. So I'm also not as wealthy. So I'll just do my thing. But my thing is, hey, I'm not going to stop. Voxer's not going to stop with this. This is one foray into a place where things didn't make sense. And people said, you're never going to change the seller servicing guideline. Well, guess what? Fannie, Freddie, FHFA, CFPB, and Congress want consumers to own homes. They want ownership in this country. To your point, that's the dream of that's the American dream, having a home. They also want it to be protected. They also want it to be less expensive so more people can enjoy that and be part of it. And I think so everyone agrees, like if you're Republican or Democrat, you know, you want people to own homes. You want to put them in homes. You want to protect them. If you're CFPB or your FHFA, you've seen big institutions take advantage of their position. We've seen a lot of that. I get it. They're made of people, right? They're comprised of people. Don't institutions because of the people. People make mistakes. And I think there's been an oligopoly in this business, right? A few big players. And they've used these apparatchiks like like, you know, well, all some of the title associations that are really only a mouthpiece. And they've done that. And like, and that's too bad because it's created vast inefficiencies and it's opened them up to an opportunity to reduce expenses. You tell the veterans, okay, that actually went to war, why, if they've owned a home and they've only had one VA loan, why they can't get a refinance and title insurance should be more than a few bucks. You tell them that. You figure that out. You tell them, like my uncle who did 3 tours of Vietnam and his single biggest asset was his home. Tell him why he couldn't take advantage of a refinance because he's got to spend $3,000 in the state of Florida and he's in a subdivision. Why would he have to do that? That's ridiculous. It's complete nonsense. It's basically, you know, because you've used your position and you haven't used it as judiciously as you should have. So I say all this to you. We're not in a battle with anybody. We're here to give consumers a choice when we can give them. If you don't like it, if you don't think life changes and business changes, then you're probably probably should reevaluate that and read some good management books. We're here to do that. And I think what you're gonna see is much in Elon Musk world, you're gonna see title insurance underwriters coming up with alternative products, getting more cost effective, pushing prices down. All right. They just can't say it now because they got billions of dollars of market cap. But you'll see them pivot, and where they could pivot is partnership with Voxtur. They could pivot using their data. They could take their data and analytics and partner with a company like Voxtur. They could reduce the price. They could go to the insurance commissioner and say, guys, you know what? We overstated the risk, and we created these rate structures that are, you know, artificially high, but now in reevaluating the data, we can bring those costs down. So let's bring the cost down in states like Florida or Texas, where I happen to be. I was a resident of the state of Florida. I'm a resident of the state of Texas now. Lived in both, practiced law in Florida since 1995. Been around real estate law, taught real estate law. So, you know, so came out of this with really, as a naive as I was, I really believe this. Here's how crazy I am. I came out and I thought, wow, this is awesome. I found a way where we can reduce the cost for consumers. And I'll do the first thing I'll do is I'll go to the American Land Title Association. I'll go to the American Bar Association. I'll tell them. Lawyers can reduce costs for people. What a great. Yep. And I'll partner with my title insurance underwriters and we'll take market share and we'll have a great business. And that's how naive I was that I thought we would actually want to save people money. Maybe we'd actually want to change the model. I forgot that fear drives most people and that people make base decisions.
True.
And getting all scared and then going to Congress and saying, be scared, be scared, be scared. Or here, take my money so you vote my way. Like they're trying now. That's okay. That's fine. At some point, we'll just be honest about where we are. And where we are is in a place where we can reduce costs. And that's where Voxtur is.
This is a perfect way to wrap this up because what you just said right there, Voxtur, what you guys are providing is that efficiency, is that other option for affordability, efficiencies, and the future of home ownership. Again, that's really what this entire conversation, and Jim, you have shared so many points of this. I mean, we could continue to go for hours on this. And many of you may be thinking like, oh, title, like nobody cares. But really when it comes down to the end of the day, like title does play such a big role in our industry. So this has been such a brilliant conversation. I appreciate you coming on today. And like I said, there's so much opportunity to continue to educate our entire industry on this, because again, something, it just seems like it's been so, you know, second nature title insurance in our industry, but now there's an opportunity to provide a more efficient, more affordable option for our homeowners, for all of our clients. So this has been incredible. I appreciate you coming on today and sharing everything you have and look forward to continuing to learn. Like I've even sitting here listening today, I'm like, wow, this is good. Like there's this and this and this. There's just opportunity for companies and people like yourself to continue to innovate, to continue to look for inefficiencies and improve on them. So Jim, I cannot thank you enough. This has been amazing.
Yeah, you know, this industry needs to do more loans. We need to keep more employed. Reducing the cost allows more people to afford it, and you get more loans, and you don't have to lay off people in the industry, and you can do that. You can take market share. You can keep people employed. Let's do the other side of the equation, too. Let's save money for the consumer and do more loans. How about we just do both?
Let's win. Win-win for all of us. That's what I like to hear. And that's what we're focused on. Jim, this has been absolutely incredible. I know everybody listening today, this has been one of those episodes where you're like, wow, you know, there were some good points made here and some opportunities to improve. Going into a new year, that's what we should be looking at, is how we can better serve our communities, how we can better serve our clients. And this is just one of those ways. So, Jim, thank you so much for joining us. As always, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning in today. This has been one of those that's just going to help us better in 2023. And with that, as always, we appreciate you. We love you. Now it's time for all of you to go shred, go show up, hustle, repeat every day. See ya.